All righty. Whether it be at 8:30 or 8 o'clock, we'll take them, right? Good to have them early, though. Yusuf Romorowski is the executive director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East, trained as a Middle East historian, ladies and gentlemen. Holds a PhD in the Middle East and Mediterranean Studies. He is the man of the better mind as far as what is going on. We wanted to get him, and he's nice enough to join us here on this Monday morning. Yusuf, great having you. You know, I was talking about Chuck Schumer on Friday being completely inappropriate what he stated last week regarding elections and Netanyahu. He wants Netanyahu out of there because he feels a different mindset might put a halt to this war right now. But I heard the prime minister on yesterday. It's anything but. It's full stream ahead. It's what the people of Israel want. And he's going to do by that as far as making sure that the eradicating of a terrorist group will be in play here. Welcome aboard here.
Thank you for having me. That's all correct.
Elaborate a little for me. Go ahead.
Yes. So the context, you know, just to put to frame it, you know, for the listeners. So Schumer's meddling it really is the inappropriateness had to do with the fact that really we're meddling with a sovereign democratic ally. And, you know, the fact that people can have their own opinions, but the fact that you're actually, you know, an elected official and you're meddling with Israeli democracy and one of the, you know, the only democracy in the Middle East is problematic, to say the least. The other part, which is problematic, is, of course, has to do with the issue, the idea that Netanyahu, that he equated Netanyahu, the so-called threat of Netanyahu to Hamas, which was also in that, which is also insane to begin with, was also problematic in all his remarks. One needs to understand that the current war cabinet in Israel is the one making the decision. And what you have a part of that war cabinet composition is you have the left, the right, and the center. And so you have a consensus in Israel, 63% of Israelis to date do not believe that the two-state solution is a reality. They don't believe that there is a partner to talk to. And they all believe that the number one objective post-October 7th is to dismantle and eradicate Hamas in every possible way, shape, or form in Gaza. Israelis will go into Rafah, which is the last stronghold of where they're currently in Gaza. They've now conquered close to 85% of the Gaza Strip. And it's not a question of if, it's just a question of when. And so that's the current state and the current mindset of Israeli society consensus-wise. So the fact that Schumer, who is basically kowtowing to what I would consider to be, you know, if I'm being diplomatic here, I would say to the electoral politics of the progressive wing of the Democrats.
You're 100% right.
That's exactly what they're trying to achieve here. The people who are a member of that part of the party didn't even want the war to begin with. And so I think that that's, you know, exactly what you saw illustrated by Schumer's outrageous comments, to my mind.
And you know what? What really made it so disingenuous to me, those comments, I didn't hear one word out of Schumer regarding the hostages. Not one. Because anybody of any common sense, okay, will tell you, okay, yeah, there's a ceasefire agreement on the table. It's about the hostages. Until the hostages are displayed, there's no deal, in my estimation. None. And that's what it's all about, Asa. Because however, who are left? How many are still alive? We don't know. And there were Americans in that group, whether it be 130, 110, 80, we don't know. But until we have a discussion in that regard, we have nothing. Not one word has ever come out of Chuck Schumer's mouth regarding the hostages.
Not at all. You're absolutely right. Not only about condemnation about the hostages, about, you know, the fact that they're being held by an Islamist terrorist organization, being Hamas. It was the same week that the administration decided also to alleviate and give basically the Iranians access to close to $10 billion in sanctions relief. And so there's no condemnation of Iran, which, you know, has the, you know, blood on its hands and the footprints of all the activities that took, all the atrocious activities that took place on October 7th. And so equating the so-called threat of the Netanyahu government to Hamas was ludicrous and fallacious. And I think that, you know, again, he could have his own opinions to himself. But the fact of the matter is that Netanyahu to date, even on the current formulation, has the support of the majority of the state of Israel. The objectives are all clear. The cabinet is the one that's deciding where things are going. And that is still the number one objective. And to your point before, to date, Hamas has refused to give the status of the hostages, what kind of medical condition they're in, are they even getting the aid? They have refused to give the name. And so every one of these conversations has been stalled, not because of Israel, but because of Hamas. And so one needs to contextualize exactly the fact that a terrorist group, which the hostages, they're their life insurance. So they have obviously an interest to keep them around them, and they have refused any proposal on the table. Well, in the meantime, we have not been able to get any status update about what their conditions are, and they're being used, of course, for psychological warfare as pawns. That's exactly the situation that we're in. Any other country, if we were in that same situation in the United States, we would be acting in the same way the Israelis have been acting, and the Israelis have taken every possible measure to maintain the human part, the civilian section of Gaza, but they're fighting urban warfare. And that's exactly the situation that needs to be understood as far as the kind of war that Israel has fought and is continuing to fight in Gaza. And potentially now there's going to be an opening of a new front when you're talking about the north when it comes to Hezbollah.
Yep, no doubt, no question. Asaf Romorowski with us. Asaf, what about the humanitarian aspect here? We saw bundles being dropped via the air a couple of weeks ago. The president of the State of the Union mentioned, I don't know how realistic it is to open some sort of a port there without putting boots on the ground and everything else. That's a whole nother aspect here. From a humanitarian standpoint, you know, you think about Hamas kind of intertwining somewhat in those efforts. That's a whole nother story here. But give me a sense regarding the efforts and everything else. A lot of people, you know, feel that Israel is not on board. That to me, that is completely untrue. They're not looking in any way, shape, or form to get in the way of that whole situation. You know, they have a job to do as far as the defense and everything else of their homeland. But give me a sense humanitarian-wise here.
Look, it is true that aid needs to come in. Aid has been you know, the Israelis have allowed aid to come in. But to your point, you know, the problem that the Israelis have had is maintaining the integrity of the aid. The aid, right, you know, has been stolen, has been taken by Hamas. What you've been seeing is that, you know, the concern has been smuggling terrorists through the aid convoys. I mean, so these are part of the issues that we've been seeing and the complexities of actually getting aid into the civilian areas from the get-go. In the current stronghold that you have today and the way the civilian population has been pushed into the southern part of the Gaza Strip, which is near the Egyptian border, you are talking about close to 1.4 million individuals in the area. So the challenge is great as far as making sure that there is the disentanglement between the civilian population and Hamas. Hamas uses and abuses the area, and they've also been using and abusing the aid. But we know for a fact that aid isn't coming in. The fact of the matter is that Gaza to date is still the one that controls all the electric and all the water. It's not controlled by Israel. So aid is continuing to come in. The challenge is, of course, is the entanglement of the aid itself. And furthermore, organizations or international organizations like the United Nations have also been co-opted by Hamas, namely groups like UNRWA, which is the UN group devoted to Palestinian refugees. And they're the ones that Israel has now shown with all the evidence that were actually involved in the kidnappings themselves, that they are members of Hamas. And so you can't trust also the aid workers. And so the fact that you have, you know, trying to drop in aid, you know, for the United States, and it's a good humanitarian effort. These are all appreciated efforts. That being said, it's not sustainable. The idea that there's going to be a pier and trying to get aid into Gaza, some of the aid fell in parts of Israel, did not fall into Gaza. There has to be, this is all part of the conversation regarding the day after tomorrow, what it's going to look like as far as who is going to serve the Palestinian population once Hamas is eradicated, how aid will continue to come in. But all these checkpoints all along where the aids have been coming in have been hijacked by Hamas. They've created terror tunnels there, as we've seen all along as a tactic. And that's a delicate balance that you're seeing executed here, while at the same time trying to release the hostages and cleanse the area from all the terrorists in order to fight the war and win it properly.
Yeah. No question. Still so much on the line. As we are into this fifth month now of this conflict, where do you see this thing? Is there an end game at point here? Is it too soon? There's still so much to do. We know what Hamas and the funding and everything else that's coming about here. You've got Hezbollah in the north. You got the Houthis doing their thing. You've got a lot going on here. Joe Biden's kind of feeling the heat as well. You are spot on, in my opinion, regarding the progressive and the left and the movement there and the appeasement that is going on here. But where do you see this ultimately going? And is there a finish line in some sense from you?
Well, the finish line, there is a goal to have a finish line. But I think to your point, you're absolutely right. First of all, you have, I would say, a little bit of a downgrading of U.S.-Israel relations, given the politics of the presidential cycle that's playing out here and the progressive wing, and the left and the Democratic Party trying to squeeze Israel to end the war. To my mind, the Israelis need at least until the end of the year to properly do this correctly. And you're absolutely right. It's not only about winning the military campaign on the ground, which is the number one objective, but also the patrons who funded all the activities. And that has to do, of course, to my mind, with number one, Iran, talking about Turkey, you're talking about Lebanon, you're talking about the Qataris, you're talking about Malaysia. You have all these countries who have been patrons, you know, that Hamas has, has been benefited from their financial support to make October 7th happen. Beyond that, I would also argue that you also have Muslim charities in Europe and the United States who've also been supporting Hamas. All of these fronts need to be won, notwithstanding the war on the ground itself. And the other point, you know, which is absolutely correct, is, you know, now that you're seeing an uptick in activity in the northern part of Israel regarding Hezbollah being another patron of Iran. So you have a war on two fronts that the Israelis are fighting, between Hamas and Hezbollah, the war is not done yet. And not to mention the fact that you have, inside of Israel alone, you have close to 300,000 displaced Israeli citizens as a result of being pushed out from their homes in the south and now in the north, which is another problem that the state of Israel is fighting. So I don't see the war being over yet. There's much to be done. And there's also a question of, who is going to administer Gaza once the Israelis are done? You're talking about the fact that we know that there have been at least five stories of tunnels underneath Gaza that need to be dismantled and destroyed totally. You're talking about the fact that they have a massive maze of a tunnel system that is 100 miles longer than the tube in London. It is a massive infrastructure that needs to be eradicated. And only then can you start talking about the disentangling Hamas, which needs to be entirely eradicated from the civilian population. And Hamas operates like a hydra. So the question also is, even if you are able to dismantle the current leadership of Hamas, who are the future leaders? And these are all part of the real considerations that need to be looked at. While the person in charge of perpetrating the October 7th attack, Yahya Sinwar, is still walking alive around, and he's still threatening Israel with similar October 7th attacks. These are all real threats, and reminding the Israelis that there are real existential threats that they still have to contend with, and all funded by the Islamic Republic of Iran, which, of course, needs to suffer consequences, to my mind.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, in a final thought, I brought it up at the beginning of the conversation, two-state solution. That's all we've heard about over the last couple of months. Formulate some sort of a two-state solution. I don't think it ever will ever work. I think there is way too much distress, way too much hatred in and around Israel. We saw years ago, Aesop, regarding Afghanistan and the formulation of a government in which the United States would oversee as far as the embryonic stages. And I think that has to be some sort of a replica if we get to that point. Not necessarily the two-state, because it just won't work. I think it's a waste of time, and it just sounds good. But I think when it comes to fruition, if you look at Afghanistan and the formulation there, that has to be a starting point as far as the conversation.
Well, I think that's a plausible model. I also agree with you. A two-state solution is a two-state fantasy at this point. No Israelis even are thinking about a two-state solution. There's nobody to have a two-state solution with. I mean, even if you're talking about the current configuration of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas is currently serving in his 20th year of a four-year term. They are weak. They are corrupt. There's nobody to talk to there. And the fact of the matter is that while I don't believe that Israel is going to go back to a pre-2005 reality, there's going to be remaining inside the Gaza Strip, once the war is over, a military presence. And there's going to be a use of other international potential organizations, potentially if you could get the Arab states to try to work with the population, but that's a really big if. I think that currently that's not even on the table.